Welcome back to Wheatfields to Wonderland's audio podcast. This week's story is a holiday travel story. As we're heading into the holiday season, I thought it was an appropriate story to share. I hope you enjoy it. It's called Stranger on a Plane. And we all know, we've all had the experience of sitting beside many strangers on a plane. Okay? I hope you enjoy. As I get ready to head home for the holidays, I am reminded of a man, a stranger on a plane, one I met last year when I was traveling home to Canada. When you get on an airplane and you are flying solo, the likelihood that you will know the person who is sitting next to you is highly improbable. Most often, it is a random stranger on a plane that will be seated next to you. Sometimes, the stranger on a plane is an obnoxious person, and you have to deal with their unbearable behavior for the entire flight. Or perhaps, the stranger on a plane might be a smelly person, making you want to gag and wish you had an old-fashioned clothespin to plug your nostrils together. Or yikes, the stranger on a plane might be a sick person who could spread his cooties to you, and you regret not having brought the hand sanitizer and surgical mask that you promised your mother you would take with you, because it is the holidays and for her, everyone has germs on the plane, especially at this time of the year. But you thought that she was just being a paranoid mummy, and now you regret not having had listened to her. Or perhaps even worse, you are seated beside a stranger on a plane who is drunk, and the possibility of him puking on you if you encounter any rough turbulence is highly probable. Or maybe the stranger on a plane is a mom with her crying infant, and you regret having had a few too many cocktails at the holiday party you went to last night, and you fear that the screaming small human might make your achy, hungover, headachy head actually explode. So if you get lucky enough to be seated to a stranger on a plane who doesn't delineate the above-mentioned infractions to your on-flight experience, you might actually get lucky and meet an interesting or amusing soul, one whose company will help you pass the flying hours or leave you alone, becoming an innocuous traveling partner. Last year, I got seated beside a man named Ted, and as I'd used my air miles to fly home to Canada, I had just enough miles to get a first-class ticket. My preferred way of traveling, by the way, and hopefully someday my only way of traveling. Hey, are you listening, money gods? Sitting up front, I knew that I only had to deal with one stranger on a plane, as opposed to multiple strangers in coach. Therefore, my odds of having to endure an unfortunate traveling companion were already greatly diminished. Ted won my heart in the first 15 minutes of flight, as being that I had attended a holiday party the night before, and as I drank several glasses of champagne and later indulged in both red and white wine, yeah, I know, I had a hellish headache. I realized when I got to the airport that I'd forgotten my bottle of 600 milligram prescription ibuprofen. You see, earlier that morning, I had to tear open my hand luggage to find it, as it was already packed in case of any alcohol-induced Christmas headaches. And in my hurry to get to the airport, I accidentally left it behind sitting on my bedside table. As the medication I swallowed in the morning was starting to wear off, and as my headache was creeping back, Ted, my stranger on a plane, aka rescuer, happened to have the exact same medication on him, and he was more than happy to share his with me. He joked that he was flying back from Indonesia with his family, LA being the connecting city, heading home to Minneapolis for the holidays, and that the 600 milligram ibuprofen was a traveling staple as far as he was concerned. It was a staple for Ted, as Ted was traveling with his family of five, his wife and three kids. Two of his kids were seated in two rows in front of us, and his wife and third child were seated three rows up and to the left. After the medication kicked in, and as we were eating our lunch, he started to tell me about working in Indonesia and the ins and outs of living life so far from home. I found his stories quite fascinating, and after we'd exhausted the whole who was he discussion, and as the movie projector wasn't working on our flight, it then became my turn to fill the airspace between us with stories. Living in Los Angeles, I've never had a lack of stories to tell, and he was amused by my Hollywood tales. Eventually, we started to talk about relationships, and he wondered why a girl like me was still single. I often wonder that myself, and guess that even though his initial impression of me was that of a headachy, hungover Hollywood chick, that his opinion of me must have somehow been amended with my lively banter. So naturally, I told him about dating in Los Angeles and about the variety of dating obstacles one faces living in a city like LA. Distance, players, old farts, boy toys, gold-digging girls who make men fearful of good girls. Well, you get my drift. Basically, in a short time, I managed to surmise my entire blog findings to him, amusing him with my, well, personal pain and suffering as he laughed out loud at my stories of woe. By this time in my flight, my headache was gone, as the pills had worked their magic. Or perhaps it was the free first-class wine that Ted and I were both now indulging in, and the hair of the dog was in play. Regardless, the outcome was the same. I felt great and was enjoying my time talking to Ted. As I continued to regale him with my bad dating stories, I told him of the story I wrote for my blog about married men, called Happily Married Cheater. I informed him that most of the married men I encountered in Los Angeles cheat on their wives, and I had come to this conclusion because, well, they had hit on me. I told him how disconcerting it was to think that even if I did find my match, my soulmate, that having been single and dated for so long that I feared I might never really be able to trust my guy as I've seen how men are. And I looked at him and said, guys like you don't exist in my world. I bet you would never cheat on your wife. Ted looked at me, and I'm not sure if it was because he'd been flying for like 18 hours already and was exhausted, or because he'd enjoyed 3 glasses of red wine at a high altitude, but he told me that one time, years prior, when he was attending a conference in Oklahoma, he met a woman named Denise. Over their duration of the 3-day conference, they seemed to be hanging out frequently and had a playful rapport between the two of them. Denise was married as well, and he said he felt like the playful flirting was merely a release for him from his job, his wife, and at that time, 2 little kids. The last night of the conference, after an evening mixer where multiple cocktails were served and indulged in, he fell into bed with Denise. He quietly whispered and told me that it was a night of passion like he'd never experienced before in his life. The sex was off the charts. Yet when he woke up in the morning, and as the alcohol started to leave his system, he was consumed with a horrible guilt, one that had never left him to this day. He said he'd never told his wife and that he would never, ever do anything again that would compromise his marriage or his family. After the words came out of his mouth, he looked at me and with a shocked look on his face, admitted that he had never told anyone about Denise and what had happened, and that I was the first person that he confessed this dark mark about his past to. Ted, my stranger on a plane, had told me of his deepest secret, one that could destroy his life. I was a bit surprised that he blurted it out, even with the fatigue and alcohol consumption. And just as I was mulling all of that over, the pilot came on and announced that we would be landing in 10 minutes and then we needed to put our trays and seats up. The next 10 minutes were a bit uncomfortable, as I could tell that Ted felt nervous for having shared such a personal story with me. And as we all got up to the plane, I smiled at him and waved to his wife and kids who were ahead of me, wishing him a happy life, and knowing that the probability of me running into Ted again in this lifetime was virtually nil. He had been a stranger on a plane who for a few hours became a friend, and I became his confidant. And you know, sometimes being able to talk to a stranger, one you will never see again, is likely better therapy than a confession to a priest or a session with a therapist. So the moral of this stranger on a plane story is, 1, confession is good for the soul, but if you do it on a plane, make damn sure that the person you are confessing to is someone you will never see again. 2, so if you live in Los Angeles, basically all flights on Southwest are out for airplane confessions, as the distance between Vegas, Phoenix, etc. are in close enough proximity that you just might have a future encounter with the same stranger on a plane. And lastly, 3, as a precaution, when flying this holiday season, don't forget to pack ibuprofen, hand sanitizer, alcohol wipes, surgical masks, and earplugs to keep all the unwanted random strangers at a safe traveling distance. And if that doesn't work, numbing yourself with booze kind of helps. Well, on that note, I hope everybody has a safe holiday season. They get to their destination on time. They arrive in one piece. They return in one piece and on time. And your luggage gets there. And you enjoy your family and your friends. And cherish all the beauty that is the love that is shared between families and friends during this holiday season. And that wraps it up for 2016, ladies and gents, boys and girls, puppies and kittens. Next year, we start 2017 of Wheat Fields to Wonderland, and I wonder what crazy stories we will have to look forward to then. Because somehow, for some reason, shit just happens to me. Thank you all for listening this year. Ciao for now. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.